May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Morning. Jesus knew he was going to die, and yet he smiled and joined in the conversation because that's what polite people do. But Mary knew something that the others did not know or would not face, and she did the only thing she could think of, which was to make a generous and devoted public declaration of love by pouring a box of expensive embalming ointment over Jesus' feet and then wiping it off with her hair. I love to imagine this scene, the commotion it must have caused, the pungent smell of the aromatic oils as it spread through the house. And why did she do it? Commentaries talk about her doing it for Jesus' burial, and that resonates, and yet I can't say that's the whole of it. I think Mary had come to a place of generosity and devotion to this Jesus who had valued her and her family when others had not, loved her when many could not. I'm thinking that Mary wanted to say, I love you for loving us, for loving me and bringing my brother back to life. I care that you're lonely and afraid. I know what that feels like. And I wish I could stop all this from happening, but I know it has to be. So here's a sign. Here's a sign that I know how you feel and that you are precious to me. My pouring this expensive gift on you is my way of saying thank you for loving me and loving my family. It's all I can do to repay you your generous love and sacrifice. Generosity and devotion. Recently, I was told of a priest who one Sunday at the time of the offering received the plates with the offerings from the ushers, held them up to the heavens, and offered this prayer of dedication. O Lord, despite what we say, this is what we think of you. In my reading and preparation for today, I came across a sermon written by Dr. Thomas Long, Candler Seminary professor and a well-known preacher. He began a few years ago when I was about 20. I volunteered to serve on the stewardship canvas team at the church I grew up in. The main task was to go out on Stewardship Sunday with a handful of pledge cards and call on members seeking financial pledges for the coming year. This turned out, to my surprise, not to be a chore, but a fascinating and eye-opening experience. The act of being asked for money evoked from people their true feelings about their church and perhaps something of their faith. The joyful received, the self-centered resisted, and the unhappy complained. He continued, I never will forget two visits I made back to back. One was to a man who served as the chief development officer for a major charity. This is a good one to start with, I remember thinking, he said. He knows all about fundraising and what we need from this. He knows the meaning of charitable giving, and he will respond with the same generosity he counts on in his own work. To my astonishment, he would not even let me in his house. He opened the front door an inch, begrudgingly took the pledge card through the crack, scribbled a very small amount on the line as I stood and waited, and shoved it back at me, pushing the door closed with a crisp and final snap. The next visit was to an elderly widow on a fixed income. She and her striped cat lived in a modestly furnished small apartment. When I told her I was there from the church, she said she was pleased to see me, invited me in for some tea and a chat, during which she indicated her appreciation for all that the church meant to her. And when the time came to hand her pledge card, she took it from my hand with joy, increasing her pledge, which I knew would mean sacrifice for her. Not to mention the cat. How to account for generosity and devotion? When Jesus was at dinner with his disciples and some of his friends that night in Bethany, there was a dramatic and profound act of devotion. But just as was the case for Dr. Long on those stewardship visits, it came from an unexpected source. It didn't come from Peter or James or John, and it certainly did not come from Judas, who loudly protested the extravagance. It did not even come from Lazarus, whose presence at the dinner was made possible only because Jesus had raised him from the dead. It came instead from Mary, this devoted disciple. She took that bottle of very expensive perfume and she poured it out on Jesus' feet and then wiped his feet with her hair. How to account for generosity and devotion. Part of the secret of generosity and devotion is discernment. Those who pour out adoration toward God are those who have a discerning sense of what's truly at stake, what's really happening in life and faith. Check the lobby of a hospital in the morning and you will hear the voices of the patients being discharged. Some cry out in rage, "I'm going to be on these medications for the rest of my life." And others are full of gratitude and praise. "Thank God that I'm well enough to go home." All of these patients are leaving the hospital, and only some of them have found that space, that little place of discernment to be thankful. In our story from John, the room was full of people. Yet only Mary discerned the presence of Jesus in a way that prompted gratitude. And yet the issue is more than discernment. Mary was not blowing up, helium balloons to celebrate that discernment of Jesus' presence. She wasn't lighting candles on a cake out of her gratitude. She was pouring on him this costly ointment, and she was anointing Jesus for death in an amazing act of generosity and devoted love. So Jesus says, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that I might keep it for the day of my burial." Mary's costly gift of gratitude grew out of an inner awareness of the cost of Jesus' gift of sacrifice, his own life. As one New Testament scholar observed, she gave boldly of herself in love to Jesus at his hour, just as Jesus will give boldly of himself in love for us at his hour. The vision of a community shaped by love and grounded in relationship to Jesus is first enacted by a female disciple who has no claim to that position. Maybe that's the key. Those who recognize the cost of kindness and redemption are those who love most freely and most generously. It should come as no surprise then that self-sufficient executives shove pledge cards through the door like tips to bellhops, while widows who can barely afford to keep themselves and their cats joyously pour out. their own costly ointment. In an earlier parish, the rectory was right next door to the church, which had its ups and downs. Periodically, there was a knock on the rectory front door on a Thursday night. A local chapter of Alcoholics Anonymous met at the church on Thursdays, and they used to take up a small offering to thank the church each month. And each month on their collection night, one of the members would come over to the rectory carrying an envelope with the offering collected from their group. Many of the members of this particular group had very difficult lives. Some had lost jobs, they had lost families, all had struggled with their addiction. None of the members were wealthy, and still they passed the hat for an offering of thanks to the church, tossing in ones and fives and change. One Thursday night, a week before Thanksgiving, there was the usual knock at the door. I remember Miles was about two, and I'll get it. And there was the member from AA holding an envelope. As I stood behind him, he handed it to me and said, "There's a little extra in there this time." And sure enough, the envelope was crammed with wrinkled bills and assortment of coins, almost double the usual amount. And there was a note in there with the money that read, "With thanksgiving to God and to the church for all the blessings we receive." Generosity and devotion, coming from that place which sees beyond earthly struggles to the place within where God loves us utterly, sees the gifts that give us life and hope and new life. To me, that envelope was fragrant with costly perfume. As we come this week to the culmination of our Lenten journey, and as it moves next week into Holy Week, we have the opportunity to offer our gratitude and devotion to our God, to our Lord Jesus Christ, by our presence, by our walking with him through this week. We can, in gratitude, offer our precious time and our beloved selves prayerfully and walk and keep watch with Jesus through the week that reminds and lifts up the love that gives itself even to death for you, for me, for all of us. Perhaps this year we need this journey more than ever, to feel and touch again the love that has no limits, no walls. The love that brings light into darkness, hope into despair, and new and renewed life into the very corners of our souls where death and darkness have taken something from us. The Holy Week worship schedule for this parish is it'll be in your Wednesday weekly. It'll be in your snail mail this week. It is an invitation to walk together, to make the time to gather for the journey in gratitude and devotion to the one who lived and dies and rises for us. And ironically, the journey made in love for him will be a gift of loving hope for us too. A hope we all need. So take this week ahead to make the arrangements that you need to make your Holy Week journey. And I do believe that your Easter, your day of resurrection, will be the sign of new life that we need, that we're searching for, that we crave, that humanity needs. Gratitude and devotion, darkness to light, death to life. May we all find it in the love that has never and will never die. Amen.